Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
He kōna I purangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
Yeah, I'm with Bella Kalolo. She ain't no cool.
Well, not anymore.
Not today.
I never was, babe. I never was.
Kia ora koutou katoa. Nau mai haramai to my podcast. It's Personal with Anika Moa. That's me. The cool thing about my podcast is that I get to talk to wonderful, amazing humans about stuff that's personal to me and to them.
But you know the greatest thing is there was a girl that wrote on one of the feeds saying, I can finally see myself on Shortland Street. And I'm like, yes.
My wonderful and beautiful guest today fills rooms with her infectious laughter and auditoriums with her powerful singing voice. Bella Kalolo joins me to talk life, body image, and her quiet dreams. So, in case anyone didn't know, Bella and I know each other very well. But do you know what? I mustn't know you that well, because I didn't know you came from Christchurch.
Burnside like, High School, man. Where were you?
Hornby High. Well, we would have been frenemies.
Oh, yeah, I think. Did they have any rarus?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Like what?
With music.
Was it mainly music?
Well, we were the best music school.
Well.
At Kashmir High? Was Kashmir?
Because
they had Bekronga, Bowronga.
Yeah, actually, not wrong. And then later on, it was like the bel canto would like sass everyone in competitions, yeah. All of the choir. And so, yeah. And then they made the Aurora Centre when I left.
That's so. Right. So you would have been, what, one of 10 Pacifica people 100%. In Christchurch? And I'm one of about 15 to
yeah.
20 Māori. What was it like growing up in Christchurch as a, you know what?
Tangata paraone.
Aye.
Honestly, I didn't even think any different. It's so weird because... you'd get all the brownness on Sundays or on Wednesday nights when we went to youth, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Sundays it'd be church and we'd have the Bālangi church sesh, and then you'd have the Samoan church. No, then you'd have the Niuean and the Rarotongan church sesh.
Yeah.
And then the Samoan and the Avo, and then youth at night. So it was like a whole... It was a coverage of everyone.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that to me was normal. I knew at school, my friends were my friends. Didn't really think of them as...
But you grew up in a white...
You're white. And I know, but I didn't... I couldn't...
City.
I got culture shock when I first moved to Auckland. Like, and this wow. is in the early 2000s.
So you moved to Auckland... How old were you when you moved to Auckland? Like, 20-ish?
Yeah.
So what was the culture shock? Was it like, well, there's too
so
many brown people?
That.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa!
Out of it, eh? Well, because, hello, you go to Bishopdale Mall and it's just all white people.
Yeah, I know.
So that was, it was normal, the outlook. And so the main, like, I mean, I guess the thing for me, the norm at home was I'd see my brown family, we'd speak in Samoan, mum would speak in Te Reo, like, we'd speak in English.
Yeah.
You know, so... Yeah.
Lots of
that was the norm.
And taro and umu, yeah,
umu.
Which is the Māori, the Samoan version of a hangi.
Hangi, yeah. But instead of it being underground, it's on top of the ground.
Yeah, with the coals and the blankets on top. Yeah,
and the stones
yeah.
and stuff, hot stones.
So you grew up in Christchurch in a white society, but with your brown whānau.
Mm.
Where does singing and acting play its role?
I
mean, it's an obvious question, but I just want people to
it was, I mean,
know you, Bella.
Yeah. So, first off, it was home, the home front, because mum and dad. Dad was a guitarist, singer, so they were a duo, mum and dad.
Oh.
And mum didn't want to do it anymore.
Oh.
Hey.
Yeah, yeah. Christchurch. We're pretty much living parallel
lives.
We
literally are.
So your mum didn't want to do it anymore.
So I ended up being the duo with dad. So I started out country and western.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
I never promised you a
rose garden.
Yeah. Crazy. All of that.
Tammy Nelson.
Oh, 100%. So, another good friend of ours.
She is. She's an amazing friend of
she
ours.
She is.
Yeah. What's your specialty? Are you a singer or are you an actor?
I'm a thespian.
You love it, eh?
I actually love the arts. I love the arts. And even culinary cooking time, I love being able to just go, I used to dream about recipes and putting ingredients together. And they'd be like, that would actually go. Yeah, cool. I'll do that.
So thespian and cooking. That's your love. That's what you're passionate about.
And, well, makeup.
Wow.
I do like doing a good old makeover.
What, so you do makeup for other people?
I have done in the past, now not, because I'm busy. Although I do half of my makeup at work.
Yeah.
And the girls already know. No, Bells does your eyebrows, does it, fills in her moles, especially when they make her moles. Yeah, because it gets covered.
I didn't even notice you had moles.
Oh, I don't at the minute.
They're not moles. Oh, do you put moles on your face?
No, I've got moles. I mean, they're not moles. That's a beauty spot.
My, this is a beauty spot, but it's not coloured in. And my kids will constantly point at it and go, wart.
It's not a wart.
It's kind of wartish. Does it feel wartish?
Have you tried to pop it?
No. Did you know?
What is it? It's bleeding.
I tried to get face surgery to get it taken out, but they were like, if you get this taken out, this, because if you're listening, I've got a massive, what is it, like a big massive beauty spot that's not coloured in on my face, and it's quite obviously there, but I never notice it. And they said, if you cut it out, the scar will be more ugly than this.
Yeah, right. So you're like, nah, I'm going to just
hit it. I've got to own it.
You really do.
Yeah, it's like having gappy teeth. You've just got to own it.
100%. My sister has got a little mole there. And her kids, every time she breastfed them, they'd reach up and just play with it. So every now and then I go and tug at it.
No. I think it was like a little third nipple. Yeah. Okay. So you used to call your family the Christchurch Von Traps?
Nah.
Did you? No. You are 16, going on 17.
Go get a job.
Is that how it would go?
My brother, three of us, we used to be a trio. Daddy's.
What?
Be a trio. I've also got a younger brother called Theo and my older brother's called Theo.
Theo, come do the trio.
Yeah. With the
Bella.
Although.
Bello.
My cousins who I grew up with, Sella.
Yeah.
Or Sella. Bella. And then our third sister would come in, and this is when our younger sister wasn't around yet. So we'd be like, hi, my name's Stella. Hey, my name's Bella. And then we'd be, hey, my name's Epi.
Poor Epi. Okay, so you've been singing for a long time, because I've seen you at so many gigs. And that's how we met, round the traps, singing, backstage. Yeah. So it's taken you all around the world. You've performed.
100.
So tell everyone who you've performed with and who's the most amazing person that you've met, because I know the story, because I remember when it happened, and you were like, tell me all about it.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Should I go from, like, who, the people or the gigs, my favourite gigs or favourite gigs?
Let's go from when you first started and you went to Paraguay.
Mm.
Is that how you say it, Paraguay?
Paraguay.
Mm. Yep.
Paraguay. So that's Central South America, landlocked in between Argentina and Brazil. Got a scholarship to go study. I actually put down, because it was AFS and Pacific Business Trust, they were putting out 5 scholarships for Whangata Paraone. And I got one of them, but I put down and said, where would you like to go to? Wrote down Switzerland, USA, because I wanted to experience a white Christmas.
They gave you Paraguay.
And then I was like, where the hell is
Paraguay? So you were like,
this is back in the day, hey. Obviously you have internet, but it's like, waiting for the server to friggin' re-up. So get the Atlas out, hey, the Reader's Digest one. Paraguay. I've never heard of it before. And then I was like, I'm not sure I want to go.
Literally. Okay, yeah. So, but you went.
I went. And so that experience was like one of my favorite and probably the most dangerous experience I've ever been.
What?
Nearly
what?
Died three times.
Why?
Nearly How? Died three times. One pistol, one shotgun, and one car accident.
So it's quite dangerous over there.
It is pretty dangerous, but how, it is so beautiful. And I loved, I still...
Don't worry about nearly dying. How's the food?
The food is... If you're a meat eater, you'll always have meat. At every turn of the corner, they're doing asado, which is a barbecue.
Yum.
I don't eat meat anymore, but that's okay.
You don't eat meat,
I don't eat meat. I've been a vegetarian for like 2 years.
2 years? Why did you give up meat?
I just bit into a flat in a in a chicken wing.
Yeah.
The flat, and I hit the bone with, and I just was like, I don't want this anymore.
Good on you, Bella Galore.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And then I was like, what am I going to do with the rest of my 19 chicken wings? So I gave them to my husband.
Aww.
I was like, I can't do it. So he's sitting there with 39 chicken wings.
Okay, so you're in Butterway.
Yeah, Butterway. Learn the culture, language. The food is amazing. Mm-hmm. I still try to, when I've got time, make empanadas, which are like the little half moon pies with meat and stuff, cheese, ham, all the things.
Yeah.
Sopa Paraguaya, which is, it's sounds like it's going to be a soup, but ain't a soup. Ain't a soup. It's like a, not a flan, but you get a roasting dish, you chuck in like maize, which is like
corn stuff.
Yeah, corn stuff. So all the corns, cream corn, like full kernel corn, and then the maize.
Okay.
Mix it up, eggs.
Welcome to a Nick Moore's cooking show with Bella Kalulu.
Cheese and onion. And then and garlic. Oh, I put garlic in. And then you just put it in to just... cook a bake in the oven and you cut it up into squares and you have it with meat.
Okay.
Mm.
So you went to Butterway, you've been to Rome, you've been to Glastonbury, you've performed with John Mayer. What was that like? Was his body a wonderland? Did you get
I wasn't
there?
Looking at his body. So Were many you? People asked
He's
me,
so beautiful.
What did he smell like? That was the main question
what
from
What did
woman.
He smell like?
Smelt like a person, didn't he? Like he didn't wear any aftershave, or maybe I didn't, I don't know.
Was he nice to you?
He was so nice.
Not fake nice?
Not fake nice. Aww. He was so lovely.
Yeah.
He even took over like one of my Snapchat feeds that I was doing.
Have you got that saved in archives?
Yeah, I've got it.
Oh my God.
I've got it.
What's Glastonbury? What was that for you?
Who did you perform with? Man, me. There was a Glastonbury buyer at...
Bella Kalulu does Glastonbury.
Yes, but it's never out there. And all the things that I've done, I've kind of just kept to myself, haven't I? Glastonbury was, there was a buyer in Australia at a show that we were doing. And it's kind of like a Pans, but not, what's the other one, babe? They do it in Tauranga or New Plymouth. The outdoor.
Oh, Womad.
It's kind of like that.
Yeah.
It was kind of like that. So you've got artists from all over the Motu, Australasia, and we were in Melbourne. All the buyers from the festivals around the world go to this and then end up going to... Yeah, they put up gigs during the day or night times. And so a beautiful man called Malcolm came along. We did a thing. He was like, we'd love to have you on the festival. So, yeah, we...
You and your band went over. But there was something special that happened to you. You had to perform in a...
Moon boot.
Because you broke your leg.
Yeah, my tibia.
So you're at Glastonbury Festival, the muddiest, most...
Like,
how did you walk around the site?
We had to cover my leg with
a rubbish bag
every day. Because that's just poos and dirt.
Yeah, it's feces. It's
And urine all mixed up.
Yeah.
The spillage that was coming from all of the lavatories was amazing.
It doesn't sound very fun.
No, that wasn't fun.
Yeah.
That wasn't fun. But everything else, like being able to meet Nana Cherry outside the, like at the back of her gig, it was just...
What's the highlight?
It was amazing.
What's the highlight of your musical career?
The highlight would be Chaka Khan, 100%.
So you're performing in Australia.
Yeah.
She's... In the same city.
Yeah.
And then what happens?
She's at the same festival. So she's headlining the Sydney Festival. And I hear that she's going to be at the, I think it was like a dignitaries night. Everyone was welcoming everyone that was working on the show and the bands and stuff. Mm. So we were playing at that night, first night. I heard that she was going to be there. And I was like, I just want to just touch her or creep her or take a photo, just something, you know. And I was hopeful for that night. So anyway, we finished our gig, went back to the green room and knock on the door. I'm like, because I sweat like crazy. Hello. I'm sweating right now. I sweat like crazy, especially after a gig. So toweling my face and then knock on the door. And it's the coordinator for the festival. There's someone here that wants to meet you. And I was like, sweet, that's probably like a little kid or something. I was signing something,
elderly
whatever.
Lady.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So, and then he goes, Chaka Khan. And I was like whatever.
Chaka Khan.
I'm so, honestly, I'm kicking myself that I didn't do that. That I didn't go, Chaka Khan, let me, Chaka Khan. And then go like that. And
feel
Chaka Khan.
For you.
And then she'd be like, I don't know.
It's a criminal. So she's at the door.
She's at the door with her entourage.
Oh.
So they come in and they spend a good half hour with me and the
what
band.
What were you timing her?
Well, it felt like, well, I was.
Felt like
me. I'm one
your
of those
hero.
Clickers. No. One person, two people, no. So she came and she just sat. She grabbed my towel off me and started like, I know. And then she goes, do you have any CDs? And I was like, yeah. And she goes, can you sign them for me?
We're like,
and I literally, I'm like, again, no. I hate paparazzi. No. I literally, I'm like, this is so odd. It's so freaking weird that I'm signing.
She's
this.
She's got your CDs in her CD.
Yeah.
Thing at home.
And then I'm like, how do you spell it? S.
You're so naughty.
Shake is A-G-A. No.
So what happens then?
So I sign them. She, her parting words were, I have got a gig. I go, great. When? Thursday. And I go, cool. I'd love for you to sing with me. And I went, I can't. I'm sorry, I'm already booked for Radna. Because Rads was using my band.
Okay.
And I was backing vocals for Rads.
So you turned
on her tour.
Chaka Khan down for a Radna, which
yes.
is...
Well, because it was. She's one of my friends.
Okay.
And also I said to her that I was going to do the show. And I had been doing the show with her prior to actually going to Australia. So... I can't. And she was like, oh, okay. I'm like, bye, girl. No, just like, all the boys, like, in the back are just going, no, she'll be there.
Oh, you
and I was like, okay. But because, you know, working muso.
No.
You say yes to something and you go, okay, I need to do that.
So did Aradna mind?
Nah.
Well,
she knew it was like...
Your biggest dream.
Yeah.
So you get on stage with Chaka Khan and what song do you sing?
Get there, backstage, there's a dressing room for me. It's like...
It's flash.
Yeah. I mean, it's all white. There's like nibbles and everything, you know, how you would. But
did you fill your
like
bag?
I got some amazing glassware.
The ropes.
Some spoons. and then I got called into... her little boudoir.
Yeah.
So I go, and she's so effing cool. She's sitting there with a massive, like, feathered fan.
Yeah.
Going like this.
Smoking.
Smoking.
Oh.
Smoking. So
okay.
I get in there, and then we talk, and we talk, and then we get to the song choice, you know. Mind you, we haven't even spoken about songs, and this is Thursday, the night of the show.
But you know every word to every
song,
right?
This is that. And then she goes, I'm every woman, do you know it? And I went,
oh my God.
I just wrote it. I wrote it myself. Well, I mean, you know, all of us know it.
Yeah.
We had to sing it in a covers band. I've been singing it since I was like, you know, 20, 19.
So you would have had the words...
So she literally rolled it out like this. Do you know I'm every woman? Yes. You do the first verse, I'll do the second verse, we'll split the bridge.
Mean.
I was like, sweet. So then I did it. And then it's online.
I know, I've seen it.
I never
I've seen it about 5,000 times because she's one of my idols.
She's just Like that you can just stand there and just go like, oh, and sing the highest note that you've ever had in your register without breaking a sweat.
Yep.
That just amazed me. And that you could smoke.
And
but jealous.
Be an older woman as well. Yeah. Be around the industry for a long time.
I had red hair at that time and she just looked like my daughter. Because she had her red hair too.
So she looked like your daughter.
She looked like my daughter. Okay. And also because she was up to here. Maga.
Okay, we're going to get into acting now.
Okay.
Because I know that's your passion. What was your first big acting gig?
Life.
What?
The 7th Life. Of March. No. I mean, most... The biggest is Shorty.
Okay.
I'd have to say.
Yeah.
But all throughout life, you know, you kind of do plays here and there. I mean, I did Bugsy Malone at Burnside High School. Shout out.
Kia ora.
Ngā kōrero nehera. And from Burnside.
Kia ora.
And then, you know, Sunday school.
Have you slept with Dr. Warner yet?
Yes, on TV I have.
Have you?
Yeah.
But that's the joke, though. Everyone that joins Shorten Street ends up in bed with Dr. Chris Warner. And you have.
I know. The first Māori, Samoan, Tongan, Hawaiian brown lady.
You won't be the last, that's for sure.
I know. Well, I'm just starting. I'm just opening the door.
I'm opening something. What's the schedule like?
It's pretty hard out. But, I mean, every now and then there's like a break or some days we have rehearsals and some days we have rehearsals and at shooting.
Yep. Is it fun? Is it good on the bank?
I love it.
Good on the wallet?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Pay the rent, mortgage?
100%. Like, hashtag blessed.
Is it like
because
a...
get to eat, eh?
Yeah.
Get to do what I love to do, which is a massive change. Well, not a massive, massive change from performing. It's just a different stance, right? Stage is just like find the light. Yeah, similar.
Yeah.
Similar thing, but remember your lines too.
Can you, is it easy to remember your lines?
Now I can learn my scenes the night before.
Yeah, okay. So just pump and dump.
Yeah.
And
I have to, hotel for words.
Tell me about it. What about, so you've been on it for what, 6 months?
Mm-hmm.
How has the attention been? Because as soon as you're on Shorten Street, everyone notices you. Supermarket.
Yeah.
Gigs.
The demographic has definitely freaking opened up. Mm. You know, old Sue from Bluff knows who I am. You know,
she complained about you.
Well, not wrong. Not wrong.
Really?
But.
Really?
Maybe. No.
Say.
No, there's complaints everywhere, left, right, and centre.
What
you
about
you? You already know about it.
I wouldn't be good, doing a good enough job if I didn't get complaints, believe me.
Well,
we're
going
to get complaints for this podcast.
Yeah, I know.
You know, like, you can't please everyone.
I know.
But what are the complaints that you get being on Shorten Street?
Just as Selena. Not as myself as a person, but just...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, people talk about, oh, she could have done this, or why did she do that? Get her off. We'd rather have this guy back on.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but it's different. And you know what's great is that they're watching still.
Is it racist complaints? Or
no,
is
it's
it
not.
Just
no.
What Selena's actions
It's just
are.
Selena.
Is it like a crash course for acting, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
And is it a step towards another goal for you? Because I know a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, I was on Shorter Street, it was awful, and now I'm in LA, and now I've got an agent and I'm writing a book.
No,
and,
I don't.
You know?
I don't feel that way at all. I absolutely love where I'm at,
cool.
And this has been a goal for me. Just one of those quiet goals, you know, that you keep to yourself and your heart. And I remember crossing the bridge kind of near the Greek Orthodox Church, just in town. I'm going over the bridge going, I think, you know, acting-wise, because I was a singer. So coming from singer mentality and all of that and performance-wise, I'm like, I feel like in my mind I've made it if I get this.
Yeah.
And then it happened and then I was like, I kissed a photo of my mum and dad because I passed away now.
Little humbly.
So, yeah. So I was like, we made it.
We made it.
Yeah. Because that's how I felt. And that's what I wanted to do. So a lot of the things that I end up just kind of putting out there, praying on, come through.
Yep.
Yeah.
And but you've said quietly a few times. So you, with your dreams and your hopes, you keep them inward because you're... we all know you, Bella. You're beautiful. You laugh. You have humour in abundance.
Yeah.
But you have your own private
100%
kind of
keep
this to myself and just get your head down and keep moving forward.
And I've felt that for a couple of years now, is that I don't like putting myself out there and going, this is what I've done, this is what I'm doing, this is, and I've never done that. Yeah. And if you see stuff, I mean, I'll post stuff, but usually they are posts that I've been tagged in. So I, you know, like at the moment, I'm like, just keep your head down.
Quiet,
just do
achiever.
The thing. Just do the thing.
Yep.
Because it makes me happy. And I mean, I can spread happiness in a different way, which is when we get together and we have freaking laughs and cry and all of that. But it's when you have those quiet moments, you know, just in here and here that I absolutely love. And they're treasure for me. So, you know, don't. Spill yet, not saying that everyone, all my friends are swine, but don't break your pearls and give them to swine.
I don't even understand what you just said there.
I think is that biblical? I think it is, like the whole, you know, don't share the dreams with people that you don't feel are ready to hear or that won't uffy.
Yeah.
Not that you guys won't uffy, it's just when you have that quiet, oh yeah, I'd love to do that. And then when it comes to fruition, I'm like, yeah, I did it.
Yes.
That.
You do it quietly. Yes, I did it.
Yeah, me and Mum that can't even talk back to me. Oh, Mum and Daddy.
Yes, you can. Talks in your heart.
I can't hear you. No.
Your Mum and Dad would be so proud.
They actually would. They'd literally watch it every... I reckon they'd watch it every day. I mean, these are parents that used a broom handle as the remote. Or I was the remote. Bella. Channel 2.
That's
Channel
what I 2. Do with my kids. They might like everything. I'm like, they gave me a full body massage last night. And I kept going, lower, do it there. Do it properly. Do it. Okay, your turn, Barry. And Barry's like, I'm tired, Mum. I'm like, do you want your $10?
Oh my gosh. You better work for it.
Okay, so we're going to talk about being big and beautiful.
Yeah.
Big, 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 big. Because When I first started, I got signed to a record company when I was 18. I finished school. I signed to a record label and they're like, we love you. Well, they went American. It was
we love everything about you. Anika Moa.
They did. They were like, we love your songs. We love you. Do you know what the first thing they did when I signed a contract with them? Literally a week later, the boss says, okay, we need to get you a personal trainer. You need to get rid of some weight. And I was like, hey, ow, I'm...
You are my weight.
Yeah. So I've had people at me about my weight.
The whole time that you've been in the industry?
The whole time. So if I'm skinny, shucks, I'm not skinny enough. If I'm fat, I'm too fat.
If I'm fat, I'm not...
I'm fat. Because my weight goes up and down.
Oh, sis, let's meet...
Yeah.
It's me. Don't worry.
What's it?
Bring glitter.
What's it? Couldn't tell. Ow! Okay.
You shouldn't have been able to feel that.
Nah. You're really paranoid about the back of my arm. So, do you hate the word plus size?
You know what? I've just like... I'm fine with it.
But
you don't like it?
No, I hate the word plus size.
You know, okay, so if you are, okay, so when you're getting dressed for like a something and they give you the clothes that don't fit you, then the category is, I mean, for me, I have to say it needs to be plus size, otherwise I'm not going to fit it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to fit the size 8, 10.
Yeah.
Nada. So I need that word to differentiate.
Yeah,
what it is that I need from peeps for me to feel comfortable. Otherwise, I just make my own stuff. This is my dress. This is my own design.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Thanks. I've got heaps of them.
Yeah.
Because I know it looks great for me.
What do you think about the industry? Because most actors think that they believe that they need to be skinny or thin.
Each to their own, eh?
Well, if you're chubby, you get the sidekick role. You get the Melanie Lynskey role, even though she's not at all fat.
No, because if she was sitting with us, I'd be bigger than her. You know what I mean? If Mel was here, I
only want to talk about it because you are a plus size actor.
Yeah.
And it almost seems like it's becoming less of a thing. Is it less of a thing? And when you look at yourself on TV, do you go, cool, she's beautiful? Because that's what I do with myself. I love my body.
Yeah, I know. So now I'm like, because I struggled at the beginning because I was like, oh, everyone in every sphere will be able to see all the things. And now I'm like, I actually really love it. I'm at peace with being able to go, yeah, great job there today. Yeah. Good on you.
Yeah.
You could, but it's not criticising me as my body. It's criticising me and my acting.
Oh, okay.
You know, so now I can watch shorties and be, oh, okay, and separate myself from. But you know what the greatest thing is? There was a girl that wrote on one of the feeds saying, I can finally see myself on Shortland Street. Yeah. And I'm like, yes. Why? Because if you went to, like, Auckland Airport, Auckland Hospital, you'd see people like all of us there. You know, they're not all slim. We're all shapes and sizes. And I love that at work, it's, I'm not looked at like that.
Any different?
No. I am who I am. And I talk to the girls in wardrobe and they're awesome. I'm like, not feeling this. Can we go for this? You know, a little bit lower if it, you know, because otherwise you look cut off unless you're showing a shoulder and then it opens up the whole area. So
you know how to style.
For me and my own body, yeah.
Yeah.
So you want to open up the shoulder so you can see the skin as opposed to it being completely
cut off. I don't have any visions about that because I just want to dress in singlet, no bra and shorts.
Yeah, got you.
Like a true top twin. Yeah. You know, like I don't care about, I only put makeup on to do things like this. Yeah. Otherwise I'm in the garden with my cap on and my, you know.
Yeah, so my girl. Like that.
Yeah.
Oh, my girl. Yeah, no, I like it because creatively I love that side of things too. And I'm like, you know what, let's ramp it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like my hair, now I love my hair up because of the show.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't have otherwise put it up that way. But I do get it out of the way because it's freaking annoying sometimes because it's getting hot.
You know, maybe 10, 15 years ago, I got body shamed so much that I hated my body.
Yeah.
And it's been a long road
to get to a point where you're like, I love all of this.
I love it all because it gave me a baby. It got me through half marathons. Yeah. It's got me through so much. It's, you know, you wake up and you thank your body. You don't hate
it. You're not wrong.
Why do people hate their bodies? Like,
well, I think it's exactly what you just pointed out. It's when you get body shamed, you end up going back to a point where you're like, that happened. I hated that feeling. Yeah. That's how, and then you end up shrinking your image of yourself inside.
Yeah.
Obviously, because you can't shrink on the outside at the moment.
Same way.
But I mean, I was on a job, and one of the people that were working on this job made a pass at my weight.
What do you mean?
Literally, was just like, just made a pass at my weight, and I was like,
what'd they say?
I'm just saying this so that it's out there, but I honestly, I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm about to like go on and I have to be the face for this thing that I'm doing. What do I do? And so I'm just like bawling my eyes out before the show, 100%. And then I'm like, oh my gosh. But you know, when someone says it in jest, but they don't know the heart of you, is it really in jest, you know?
It's not in jest.
It's not.
It's something they've noticed.
Yeah.
And they want to comment to make themselves feel better about it.
Yeah, I don't know what. Yeah. Ooh. So I was like, oh, that made me really annoyed about that.
Well, it made you upset. It made 100% you sad that someone was putting you down just before you had to perform your best.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I know.
But you didn't say anything to this person.
No, they got let go.
Ah. Uh-huh.
But I don't. Yeah, they get. Yeah, it was not great. And I'm just like, I want to be the best for this show right now, and I'm trying. I'm like digging deep to be that composed.
I got called a diva before a show once because I wanted two fold-back monitors because I didn't want in-ears.
See, I'm that too.
It broke my spirit.
Oh, babe.
And then I was just trying to shrink. And then it made my performance awful.
100%. And this is the centre of emotions.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be destroyed.
Yeah.
Once you start getting it into here, it filters down.
I had a bad show. I was like, I'm a diva, I'm a loser, I'm worthless. Aww. You know, still got paid.
Did you tell them?
They're not worth they're not worth it. They're not worth engaging with. Oh, if they're putting you down before a show, they're not worth engaging with. You have to, you keep those feelings for your close friends or your partner. That's that's what I believe
or
in.
Or RNZ.
Yeah.
Or a podcast.
Yeah.
So how did you arrive to the feeling of being more comfortable in your tinana?
In my tinana.
Your body.
Yeah. I feel like I had to be, like I had to arrive there quickly. Because, you know, like that stuff reads. That reads if you're uncomfortable with yourself. It fully reads. Mm-hmm. But I definitely had chats to myself about how do I manoeuvre in a way that, one, I can just be myself and it be elegant and awesome, you know. Just thinking of an awesome time, we had a scene and I had to sprint off camera. And the guys were like, wow, you're like, that's fast, man. And I was like, yeah, I can carry.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter. I can say, you know, but that made me feel so good because I used to love being able to do all the athletic stuff when I was younger and I was really great at it. But I think with being in a bigger family, you know, I mean, although we've got all body shapes in our family, but a lot of my sisters were all the same size, you know, and when you carry the essence of you on the outside, it feels like it just kind of filters into the atmosphere as that's the thing that goes before you.
Yeah.
Before your vessel. Mm. So, you know, when people are like, oh, you're larger than life, that's kind of what I think about, but not in the up yourself kind of way.
No.
But you know what I mean? When your essence, when your ahua are the things that actually walk around for you, but your body is just like there to go along for the ride.
Yeah, yeah. I know there will be some people listening who are plus size or who don't really like their bodies, and it's just so good to have a positive role model, even though it's not a big thing to you.
Yeah.
It's not a big thing to me, but it's really inspiring for other people to hear and see.
And don't get me wrong, I've had my struggles. Every now and then I'll have my struggles too. But it is about going, okay, so what can I do? And my husband's amazing for that. He's like, you know what, babe, just do 20 minutes on the treadmill. It just kind of opens up your endorphins. You'll feel better about that. So it's not caging yourself up in that way where you're like, I'm too big to exercise. No, you have to move your body. Mm-hmm. That's what you're created to do. You have to move your limbs. So if you just start with just self-expression, even at home, just put a song on, have a jam, have a dance around, you'll get happier.
Walk the dogs.
Yeah, walk the dogs. Yeah. If you've got no dogs, just walk yourself.
Any advice for being a plus-size actress?
Be so honest with your wardrobe department. Have conversations with them because even though they're there to bring a dream alive for your character on the show, you are still the vessel that has to wear that stuff. So if you've got an open and honest relationship with your wardrobe peeps, then you'll be okay. But also it does take a toll on your mental if you look and go, oh, I'm not sure whether I'm going to be portrayed nicely in the eyes of the public.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have those conversations with the people that are dressing you, then that can help your mind space too.
Okay.
Yeah, it's when you're forced, and not that this happens in shorties because they're awesome. They're so good with me.
Mm.
Is that when you're forced to do something that you don't want to do, your whole body retaliates.
Yep.
It wants to dissipate, wants to frickin' liquefy. Because you're not in a state of comfort, you know.
Great.
You're not being uffy.
That's really good advice. I like it.
You know, so you do need to clear the mental cobwebs, and you have to have the conversations with the people. Otherwise, you'll just keep in-house, talk to your people. Oh, I'm just nag, nag, nag.
Yeah.
And then you end up getting the dark spirits. So don't do it.
I like that, Bella.
Thank you.
Okay, I want to talk to you about love.
Mm.
Tell me about your husband.
I can see his little afro right now.
You're still in honeymoon phase, eh?
Hey, yes and no, because we want to throttle each other every now and then.
Really?
You know, yeah.
Like Bart Simpson throttle.
My husband, he is awesome.
Where did you meet him?
Online, girlfriend.
Really?
Yep. So I had, because I was like, you know, we know everyone in our circle of musos and really? Stuff, and you already know their whakapapa to who they've slept with. Okay?
You know it, sis.
You already know it. Hey, yeah, and then yeah. I'm like, we're related. No. Carl, you're my granddad. No.
So I go,
oh, I sign up to a Bumble. This is not a paid advertisement.
What's Bumble?
Bumble is a site, in which a dating site. So we met on Bumble. Then I hated the app because all I was getting was like, cucumber pics.
Yeah.
And I didn't want them.
Yeah.
So...
Is that
yeah, I mean, if they want to...
Were they in-season cucumbers or were they...
I mean, someone Lebanese. Come on. Someone Lebanese cucumbers. Come on, just give me a telegraph. No, don't. I'm joking. Give me one that grows into a zucchini. No, into a marrow. No, I'm joking.
She's got room for
days. I am joking.
So?
So on Bumble, I didn't like it myself, so then I deleted it, but I remembered his name, and he was just so... beautiful, just from the offset, like, I've just finished a competition, because he does bodybuilding too.
Wow.
So he was like, I've just finished a comp, I need to get some groceries, did you want to hang out? And I'm like, well, I could come to grocery shopping with you if you wanted. Oh. And he's like, no, that's okay, I can do it myself, and then maybe we could have some lunch or something. And then I just put him on scene for a month.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I need to go to my nephew's 21st for a month. No.
Wow.
So there was October, and then November rolls around, and I've deleted the app, but I remember his Instagram handle.
Yeah.
So I jump on Instagram, and we become friends, we start talking, and then we just have never stopped talking since then.
You fell in, so was it love at first sight? 2020.
Yeah, it was.
Wow.
So then, it sounds so creepy, I was like, so where do you live? And he's like, I'm in Mount Roskill, and I'm like, I'm in Mount Roskill too. And I was like, so what's your eddy? I'm just going to see how far away it is. And it was like 3 minutes. 3 minutes away. Yeah, it was just really cool really beautiful how it came to pass. So I remember driving down the street that is off his street.
Yeah.
But I didn't know. I didn't know that. So this is...
Yeah.
So just after COVID, I had said to my friend Ruthie, who had passed away. She was massive butterfly fan, like Monarchs. In anything to do with butterflies, that was her jam. So I literally was like, Ruthie, find me a man. Yeah. I need a man.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I don't want to be with the music groups.
No,
you already know. Yeah, they've already played everyone's drums.
Yeah.
So I ended up asking Ruthie, and then a couple of months later, one of the first pics that Siraj sends me is one of a butterfly that he... I know, but he loves plants. So he had some chrysalises at home.
Yeah.
That's hard to say.
Chrysalises. Crystallicious.
Crystallicious. And yeah, so he sent me that, and I was like, okay. I'm a sign guy.
Yeah.
I love signs.
Yeah.
Signs and wonders. So I took that as a little sign. And then when we met, it was like, my goodness, we stayed up to like, 100 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
He had work early in the morning. We were just talking to, okay, I need to go to work, sweet. Bye. But I didn't want to go empty-handed to his place. So I was like, oh, sorry, let me backtrack. I said, where do you live? He said, around the corner. I was like, okay, I'm just going to put it in my map. See, 3 minutes away. I said, look, I've got something on tonight, but I might just do a drive and see how far you are, like literally. And he goes, why don't you just come over? And I was like, okay, well, I can't go empty-handed. So I went and got him, like, 2 dozen eggs.
Did you really?
Yeah.
For his bodybuilding?
It started raining.
And
so I'm, like, standing in the dark with the eggs, with the tray of eggs.
That's a movie scene.
Yeah, and he was like, oh, my gosh, no one's ever given me anything like that before. I'm like, you're welcome.
Oh.
Yeah, and then we just talk, and he's like, I need to go to work. So we're okay, bye.
4 months later?
4 months later,
married.
Yeah.
Whoa.
But I thought, you know,
still married.
When you leave each other's presence, especially when you first meet up, you think, okay, I'm just going to go because this is like, it might feel weird.
Yeah.
But he was like, if you need a place to hang, you feel free to just hang here.
Yeah.
And I'll just come back after work and we can have something to eat or something.
He sounds so direct and lovely.
Yeah, but like direct and lovely and loving.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't even get creepster. You know how you can go like, oh, I'm going to get killed.
Yeah, you know.
Then my family's going to be looking for me.
Yeah.
But no, we were good. And then, 4 months later, married.
Yeah. Who was it just like after a week, who asked who to marry each other?
We both, like, I was like, I love you so much. And he's like, I love you so much too. I said, I just want to be with you. Because we'd talked about the 7th of August being the date that we were going to set to get married. And I was like, well, do you want to wait? And he's like, I don't want to wait.
Mm.
Then we hollered at my family. And they were like, are you sure? They met him that Christmas.
Yeah.
Are you sure? Are you sure?
You're sure.
Do you trust? Are you sure? And I'm like, yeah. And they were like, okay, sweet. Then I guess we've got a wedding to plan. So
choice.
Went down to Wellington, my brother and my sister-in-law and my Mill, who's my sister-in-law's mum, sadly passed away now, but she helped with everything. My sister made the cake. My Mill did all the little beautiful flower balls that hung from everywhere. My uncle came and married us.
Amazing.
And it was just
Did you have
so
a wedding
beautiful.
Song?
No, my nephew.
Your nephew?
My nephew and nephews.
Did they sing?
What did they sing? I can't remember. It was an Iron song. I'm sorry. Do you know why I don't remember? Because I was walking up the grass aisle, which was about 3 metres, and the wind blew my hair in a certain way, and I made a face at her, and she's mid-song, so she's like, oh, literally laughed halfway through the song.
Laughing at your hair.
Because I was like that or something, and she was like, oh,
that's
then,
fun, though.
And then her brother and sister were like, oh, it was so crack up. And we just started laughing. And then she was like, keep singing the song.
I love that. And I love that you're in love and happy.
Oh, man, I love him. My family love him. He is from Chennai, in India.
Oh, yeah.
And he is Tamil, which is the religion.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Brahmin. He's Brahmin.
Are you Brahmin now?
No.
Okay.
No. I'm child of the world.
Okay.
Hukloji. No, I love and respect his everything.
Awesome.
You know, because
does
I'm
he
like,
practice
well,
it?
He does puja, which is, you know, we do prayers around the house with incense and stuff.
Yeah.
We always pray when we go on our journeys. We pray to all the gods. Like, pray to God, thank you. Then he's like, and Murga. And I'm like, and Murga.
This has been such a good conversation, but we have to wrap it up now.
Okay.
I love you, and I love you. I love your energy and your spark and the light in your eyes.
Thank you.
And I just have such a good feeling about your future. What are, just quietly, your hopes and dreams for the next 10 years?
Ooh.
Just quietly between us two.
World stage movie. Like,
and it will be.
Yeah.
Is that what you're doing?
No, that's what I'd love to do.
Okay, just quietly.
Yeah.
And we'll just quietly be thinking of you while you live your dreams.
Yeah, and while we quietly get complaints from people.
Go the complaints. Love you, Bella.
I love you too, Nix.
Thanks so much for listening to It's Personal with me, Anika Moa.
Ngā mihi Bella Kalolo.
You are amazing, and may all your quiet dreams come true. Also to the team that helps make this happen, Charlotte Purdy and Vanessa Hawken from Rogue Productions, Tim Watkin and Liz Garten from RNZ, and our audio engineers Blair Stagpool and Adrian Holley. Cole Easton-Farrelly is a video editor, and thanks to Jane Joyce for graphics and Brianna Juritich for production support. It's Personal with Anika Moa is available on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Don't forget to follow so you don't miss an episode.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.